Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we serve the mighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer here tonight as we begin and ask the Lord to have his way. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for another opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you grant us, Lord, as your children, Lord. Oh God, and surely you are the same as you were when you walked on this earth, Lord. And your power is still the same, and yes, your blood does prevail, Lord Jesus. Oh God, oh Lord, what you did in the past, you can do in the present. And I pray, oh God, that you would walk in us and talk to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, oh God, that your presence would be here in this place, Lord. Oh, God, for you know the needs of all your people. Oh, God, oh, Lord, you are a miracle-working God. There is nothing too hard for you, Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that you'd work here in this place, that you'd increase our faith, Lord, that you touch us. Oh, Lord, mind, body, soul. Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, all aspects of our living, Lord Jesus. Pray that you'd work in Jesus' name, Lord. We give you this message. Oh God, let the devil be rebuked. Let him have no place here. Oh God, work in us, Lord. Oh God, let your word have free course. Oh Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, the Lord gave me just a little different twist here today. All right, this was really last night when he started showing me these things. Praise the Lord. And so he impressed upon me the need to go to Isaiah 43 here on this night here. And oh, yes, the help of the Lord to deliver this message. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to call it to give drink to my people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. How we need Jesus in these perilous moments. And oh my, these are amazing times, I must say. You know, I just know that our president is over there in China right now, and I believe, oh, pretty soon, I think it was about 8 o'clock that he was going to meet with Xi and begin whatever is on the script for those meetings. But, you know, I just kind of heard some things that kind of took me back this morning. I guess I was reading, frankly, but, you know, I know family members went with him on this mission, but also he took quite a few well-known techs with him, people with money, including Elon Musk and some CEOs of 20 different major companies, I read. And I don't know if this is broadcasted just too greatly, but you know, Apple is included in BlackRock. And another one that deals with chips majorly, Nevada. And it's interesting because, you know, I just don't understand what's going on entirely. I mean, I see a little bit of the picture, but oh my, there's so much more to it. And, you know, what this article mentioned is that Trump, he will pressure Xi to open up China to U.S. companies, these techs that came along with him. And I'm just, you know, I'm thinking, I thought we were going to get out of China, you know. I thought that was part of the deal in electing Mr. Trump to office. And I'm just a little bit perplexed in a lot of these ways. But you know what? All I know is we're at the end. And I don't know, things don't make a whole lot of sense. And I don't begin to, you know, pretend to understand, but all I know is we need Jesus. And, you know, it is so true that, you know, things can change so quickly. And you know, we truly, you know, we might have some thoughts of what we're going to do, on the morrow, but you know, things can change in a moment. And that's part of life, really. You know, we find out, yes, how limited we are as human beings and how frail and how we need Jesus. But oh, praise the Lord, you know, I just thank God that there is power in the blood. And oh, yes, that we have his word and he has ministered to our hearts, that we have found him. Amen. We have found him, and he's not a stranger to us. And, you know, in the midst of all of this, you know, we hold on. We hold on to God's promises. Amen. And you know, we know just he will be with us until the end of the world. That has been his promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here we are. We don't know what the end is exactly, but boy, it sure seems like we're in that time period. Amen. From everything I can see. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, with the Lord's help, we're going to go to this 43rd chapter of Isaiah right now and just see how the Lord will direct us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 43. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm going down to verse 14. It's a wonderful chapter, actually, altogether, but I feel like where I should start tonight is verse 14 here, here in this 43rd chapter. So let's go down to this 14th verse. Praise the Lord. It reads, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships." And praise the Lord, you know, there's just some good stuff in this very first 14th verse here. And I love how, you know, he's referred to as their Redeemer. And praise the Lord, yes, surely he was the one who had taken them out of Egypt and brought them to their own land. But oh, we know that as time went on, that Israel fell to the Assyrians and Judah fell to the Babylonians. And eventually, and really not that many years later, the Babylonians fell to the Persians. And so anyway, you know, we see here, as it is written in this 14th verse, it's all so much in God's hands. Yes, because he says, you know, for your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. And I believe from what it means by saying whose cry is in the ships, I believe it's referring to their wealth. Their, you know, that's how they made bang of money and so on. But anyway, God, for the sake of his people, and you know, despite everything we're seeing and all the confusion of these moments, we know the Lord is directing it for his kingdom's sake, for his people's sake. And you know, he knows very well exactly what moves are going to take forth and what are going to, whatever is going to happen. You know, God has it all in his knowledge. And he's very organized. He's very planned. And oh my, I love it that, you know, his people are the thing that, oh my, he regards, that he looks after no matter what. He regards his people, and amen. He is our Redeemer. Yes, the one who bought us with the price of his own shed blood. Amen. Amen. So he goes on here, and he says, "I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." And yes, you know, he had brought it together. He, you know, he organized all the details. He put it together. You know, it took place in his timing. You know, his plan exactly. And so, yes, he was the creator of Israel, and he was their king. And praise the Lord, he is our creator tonight. Amen. His people and Israel these days under the new covenant means, you know, all of the people of God, the ones that are called out of the world, out of the darkness, and into his glorious kingdom. Amen. Oh, yes, both Jew and Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he goes on. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. And it's so interesting here. Again, we just know that God is in charge. And, you know, there's this reference to the way that God made for his people in the sea, and the path that he created there so that, oh, yes, the multitude of his people, the great flock of his people could cross over safely across that Red Sea. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Yes, he was the one that had made that path in the sea, or that way in the sea, and that path in the mighty waters. And yes, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Oh my, you know, it was all over, you know, and you know, even though the Egyptians must have thought that they could follow after the Israelites, God did not allow it. No, it was his plan to bring those chariots and those horses down, that army of the Egyptians. Oh yes, and all their power down. Oh my, they would all be buried in that sea and not rise. Praise the Lord, and extinct. Oh my, quenched as tow. Yes. And you could say, you know, is the broken fibers of flax or hemp or some other seed there that people use. And you know, it's all so up to God, isn't it? But oh yes, he's referencing those moments, which was a focal point of their past, the Israelites, that is. And yes, they were to always remember how God had delivered them out of Egypt, how he had redeemed them and set them out of that place and you know, brought them eventually into Canaan land. But that was their big reference point that they always looked back to. You know, this is when that event happened and everything changed and things were never the same after that. But now there's a reference to a new thing that God intended to do, amen, and has done. Praise the Lord. It tells us in 18, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Oh my, because he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And praise the Lord, just to stop here a moment here, you know, we know good and well that, you know, when it was his time, when that moment had arrived, when the fullness of the time was come, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Praise the Lord. And yes, when he came to this earth, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the one who had been prophesied, the Son of God, oh my, he could declare unto them that new day had arrived, amen, that new moment that Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 43 had arrived. Let's just look for a moment at Mark, the first chapter. Going down to verse 14 here in Mark chapter 1, it reads, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand.' And he said, 'Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ was ushering in that new time. Oh, yes, he was bringing forth the kingdom of God. Amen. He was bringing forth the new covenant, which would come forth by his shed blood. But here it was, you know, oh, they had waited, they had longed for, yes, they had cried for a deliverer, they had cried for the Messiah. And finally, it did come to pass, amen. Oh, yes, as Jesus walked this earth, yes, he was bringing forth the gospel of the kingdom of God. And yes, he said it, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Amen. He was bringing it in. And of course, we know that one of the early things that he did was to, oh yes, teach the Beatitudes that we find in Matthew. They're the Sermon on the Mount. And yes, it was revolutionary. Oh, yes, those were words that would change things. Oh, yes, and usher forth that new covenant. Oh, yes, that God had said he would bring forth. So praise the Lord, yes, that moment that Isaiah had told of did come to pass. And he says it again here in verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Praise the Lord. You know, if we were walking through a literal wilderness here, you know, we could understand that things would be pretty rugged. I believe walks in the wilderness would probably mean that there would not be most likely an open path. And oh, there would probably be a lot of ramble. There'd be a lot of bushes. Oh my, there'd be a lot of trees. You know, it would be hard to know where to go. And yes, he said he would make rivers in the desert. Oh, we know typically deserts are barren places, and oh my, you know, you don't usually find rivers in the desert. You know, there might be rivers that dried up, but oh my, Jesus is saying, yes, with this new thing that I'm going to bring forth, oh, that's going to spring forward, you know, shall you not know it? That he was going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ came on the scene. Oh, he declared it, didn't he? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Declared it, didn't he? John 14 and verse 6. And praise the Lord, what the Lord Jesus was doing is, oh, yes, he was beginning, oh, yes, to usher in his plan. Oh, yes, it was developing. It was beginning. And, oh, yes, things that had been, oh, yes, set forth by the prophets were all going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. He goes on to tell us in verse 20, "The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ came with his plan and with his purpose. And oh, yes, there had been such a cry in the former times. We can read many of the cries in the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 63 for a verse or two. Amen. Psalm 63. This being a psalm of David. Oh, yes, the first verse tells us, as David is oh, yes, it states that he was praying this when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And it reads in verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And we'll read the second verse too. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Well, obviously, David loved those times in the house of the Lord. You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, those were joyful times of fellowship. Oh, yes, when they could assemble together. And oh, yes, they could call on the Lord together. Amen. But oh, I believe he's praying this while he's in the wilderness. And oh my, things aren't going so well at that moment there as he's wandering in the wilderness, as he's being pursued and persecuted. And oh my, yes, he realizes, oh my, this is a time when it's dry. It's, oh my, it's barren. I'm thirsty. My soul, oh, feels the desolation at this moment. The desolation at this moment. And oh yes, he cried, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I believe what he's referring to, oh, the very most is that longing in the soul. Oh, how we need that manna from heaven. How our soul needs to be fed. You know, physically, yeah, if we don't eat and drink after, you know, a period of time, and a relatively short period of time, if we don't drink water at all, you know, we're going to perish. Our physical being needs that water. It needs that nourishment. But how about our souls? Oh my, you know, if you kind of just skip out on the spiritual things, you know, just kind of get busy and just kind of get forgetful or so involved in the affairs of this world, you know, it's going to come a moment when all at once you're going to realize, hey, oh my soul hasn't been fed. And oh my, I need something. Oh, spiritually, I feel dry and I'm perishing with thirst. There's no water here in this world to feed my soul. Oh, yes, thank God we can go to the Lord. Oh, my. Thank God we can go to his word. And oh, yes, thank God. Oh, we can be together. Oh, yes, be it even online. Oh, yes, to get together to praise the Lord. And oh, yes, to fellowship together in his word. Oh, yes, because yes, without these moments, our soul, oh, would dry up and be barren. And, oh, yes, we would die of thirst. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, we need to see his power and his glory. Oh, yes. There's another reference I'd like us to go to, too, at this moment, and that's Psalms 42. This was written for the songs of Korah. And here, oh yes, another description of that spiritual desire for drink, oh, for the living waters. It tells us, as we read verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And again, oh yes, that deep thirst for water, just as the hart or the deer, oh, searches for the water brooks. And so it is, yes, there's that thirst in the soul that is being described here. Oh, it says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, yes, that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, my, yes. So, yes, the psalmist is pondering. Oh, yes, I'm so thirsty. Oh, my, I need the Lord. I need strengthening from his word. I need to be fed. My soul is dying of thirst. And then, oh, yes, the question, when shall I come and appear before God? Oh, when can I have that audience with God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, when can I have that satisfaction in my soul? Oh, such a cry. Oh, yes, because there is that place within our being that is reserved for God. And, oh, my, we might try to satisfy that reserved place by using other things to fulfill it. But it's never going to work, is it? Because the things of this world are temporary. And, oh, my, people work to death practically for such. And strive, oh, yes, to accumulate and to gain power and wealth. But, oh, none of those things satisfy the soul. None of those things feed the emptiness in the soul. Amen. Oh, yes. It's another psalm I want us to go to also, Psalms 84, another psalm for the sons of Korah.
Is that 90?
Psalms 84. And yes, as we read a portion of this, it goes, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And oh yes, the psalmist is, oh yes, he's again reflecting upon the wonderful times when they gathered together, oh yes, to meet with the Lord, assembling together. And he says, how amiable or how lovely or lovable are thy tabernacles or thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. And it tells us again in verse 2, the great need, oh my, to be there. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yes, that cry of the soul. And oh, even that fainting, oh my, just to be there, just to assemble, just to have a part, just to participate, oh my, just to lift up my hands and praise the Lord within the great assembly of his people. It says in verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And I have a feeling from this description that, there was a swallow that built a nest even in the altars. Oh my, but it's been observed. And yes, that sparrow and that swallow, they found a place of rest where they could lay their young and, be safe from the enemies. Goes on, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. He says in verse 5, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. And I think this is so interesting here when it talks about Baca here. It's an interesting word because it's thought that it may just be figurative, that possibly there isn't an actual place called Baca. I'm not sure, but that's what my reference mentioned. But in a way, it was felt that it was a poetic term for any experience of drought. The word in the Hebrew means balsam trees are weeping. And balsam trees were known to give off this resin that kind of was shaped like a tear like gum that came from the balsam trees. And then in the Arabic, baka means to be sparsely watered. And so here, yes, is it references baka here. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, this place where there's not much water, where it's kind of barren, where it's kind of dry, you know, and then there are some needs here. Might even refer to a place of weeping. But oh yes, that person, that individual who going through this period, maybe a dark period, maybe a hard, difficult moment when things are unknown and you know, there might be health situations, there may be pain, and there may be a lot of questions. But going through that valley, just the same, they find a well. They start digging. They start looking. They start, yeah, looking for that well. And oh yeah, you might have to dig really deep to find water. But oh my, it's going to be worth the effort. Because oh my, without water, we would not be sustained in the physical. And so it is with the spiritual also. Oh yes, there are times when, oh yes, we may be going through a valley. It may be confusing. It may be dry. It may be barren. Oh, it may be without water. But praise the Lord, even in the valley, even in such a place, you can start digging. You can start digging. You might have to work on that for a while. But by and by, you get down deep enough. You get down deep enough and you're going to find water. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so it is with us spiritually. Oh my, regardless of that difficult time that we might be going through, oh, if you start searching in God's word, you start praying with all your heart, seeking the Lord down there on your knees. And praise the Lord, you get down to that place where the well is. Oh my, oh, that well that Jesus talked about. Oh, that well that is so deep that it never runs dry. Oh, praise the Lord, because yes, there's going to be water to strengthen us at such a moment. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, there's going to be enough water. Oh yes, so that we can be sustained, even our spiritual man, so we can make it through this world. Oh my, so we can get through that valley, so we can get through that desert. Oh, praise the Lord, that wilderness or whatever it is. And it says the rain also filleth the pools. And oh, how welcome the rain is in a dry spell. Oh yes, when things might be withering up and looking kind of yellow, you know, and the crops may not be growing well. But praise the Lord, oh yes, when the Lord sends the rain. Oh, how wonderful it is, how refreshing it is. Oh, praise the Lord, what a difference it begins to make in our lives. And verse 7 tells us they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And praise the Lord, you know, with his people, we all find him. Oh yes, as we are seeking, you know, in that time, oh yes, that we get on our knees and seek the Lord. Amen. Oh yes, when somehow it comes to us or somebody shares with us and all at once the reality of our need for God, oh, comes to the forefront of our minds. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, that moment when we meet God, when we appear before God, oh yes, when we are introduced to the living God, and oh yes, we realize our great need to get right with Him. Praise the Lord. And as we walk with Him, oh yes, it's from strength to strength. Oh yes, you know, we need those times of refreshing that fall from the presence of the Lord. We need those moments with the Lord. Oh yes, when He revives our soul. Oh, when He helps us. Oh yes, when the answers start to come so that we can see and realize and get through that drought period. Praise the Lord. But you know, you're going to need it from time to time. You know, you need it actually all the time. But oh my, you know, you can't continue to walk this earth without the strength of the Lord, without His word resonating in your heart and in your mind, or without the fellowship that we need from Him. Amen. So the people of the Lord, yes, they go from strength to strength. Oh, it says, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We all had that moment when all at once, oh, we met with God. Oh, yes, oh, He became real to us. You know, not just a name, not, you know, something that we just quote or, you know, make mention of, not somebody we just heard of, but, oh, a real God who comes to us, oh, for a personal relationship. Oh, yes, so that He can walk with us and talk to us. We can fellowship with Him. Oh, yes, we can know the fulfillment of His word. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh, yes, there's a longing in the soul. Oh, as the psalmist wrote, you know, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh my, you're not going to find it in any other place. You might seek all the religions of the world. You might go here, you might go there. You might try to learn and read and study and you know, ponder all kinds of theories and theologies and so on. But there's nothing that's going to work until you know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Until that moment when He becomes a reality to you. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It goes on here if we turn now to Psalms 46. Psalms 46. And here, oh yes, it's also brought forth for the sons of Korah, a song upon Elamah. But here we're going to verse 4. It tells us there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it talks about a time of great trouble here. Oh, I believe those first verses here in Psalms 46 are talking about the end of the world. Perhaps you could refer to it in other ways, these verses, but oh my, I think it's very descriptive of the very end. It tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Goes on to say, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Oh my, you know, despite all of that, we have a refuge in our God. We have strength in our God, yes, and He is that very present help in trouble. And praise the Lord, because we have a relationship with Him. Oh, because He dwells in us and walks in us and talks to us, praise the Lord. Oh, we don't have to be afraid. Yes, it says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Oh yes, because God made provisions for his people. Oh yes, he said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, all the dwelling places of the Most High, his people. God is in the midst of her. Yes, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew, the 18th chapter, I believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. And because God is our strength, God is our refuge. Oh, praise the Lord, because God is in our midst. We don't have to be moved, oh, despite all the happenings in this world. Yes, because we have the promises of God, because he lives in us. Oh, it says, God shall help her, and that right early. And such a description follows. It says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. But yet, praise the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. Did he not say, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world? Oh, praise the Lord. Has he not promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us? Amen? Yes, no matter what. Even in such a time as this, when it's confusing, and oh yes, there's a lot of uncertainties. There's this crazy war with Iran, and oh my, God only knows here, you know, with our president going to China, and God all only knows what is up with all of that. What compromises even could be made under such circumstances in order to gain perhaps the favor of China? After all, aren't they not the friend of Iran? My. So here we are. But praise the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, he promised that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, praise the Lord. I love these verses. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, Jesus foretold of that river. Yes, that was part of his ministering when he walked this earth. Praise the Lord. Going to John 14. Well, let's go to John 4 first, please. John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. We have this story here where Jesus met with a woman of Samaria. And of course, that was not a thing to be expected, that Jesus would communicate with this woman who was a Samaritan and certainly was not a Jew, and besides, she was a woman and had all kinds of background issues. But when she inquired, verse 9 here in John 4, how is it then that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But oh yes, Jesus was on a mission, and oh, he had something to offer. Praise the Lord, something that Isaiah had prophesied of. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, praise the Lord. Water that satisfies the soul. But the woman didn't understand at that moment. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, it was well known. Oh, yes, it had a famous background. But Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And oh, praise the Lord, as Jesus was ministering to this woman, she was getting thirsty. Amen. She's beginning to realize that there's something, oh, greater than that well of Jacob's. Amen. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Oh, yes, the story continues. And oh, yes, what a moment, because Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah, which is called Christ, to this woman. Amen. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, he's foretelling of that water. Oh, that he came to bring forth that water from the well of living water. Oh, so deep that there's never any limit to it at all. No matter how deep you go, there always is more. And praise the Lord, oh, that water, it springs up into everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful description. Oh, Jesus talked of that water again in John, the 7th chapter. Let's go there also, please. John 7, I'm going down to verse 37. It tells us in John 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it tells us, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But oh yes, he was foretelling. He was telling them, oh yes, that if you believe on me, as the scripture hath said, that oh yes, there's gonna be some living water. There's gonna be a river that flows from your innermost being, that comes from out of your belly. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, that water that he was referring to when he spoke to the woman of Samaria. Yes, and it clues us in, doesn't it? It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And oh, yes, oh, I would think he was making them thirsty. Oh, yes, because, oh, there's a need within our beings, oh, to be fed. Oh, yes. Something that would quench that thirsting of the soul. Oh, something, oh yes, that would give us satisfaction. Oh, something that would be deep, something that is significant, something that is eternal. Oh, something that isn't for a fleeting moment and then perishes this. No, something way greater than that. No, yes, so Jesus identified all that water from the well, that living water that, oh, he had referred to with the Samaritan woman, oh, yes, as the Holy Ghost, which he was going to send in his Father's name. Oh, praise the Lord, even as it tells us in John, the 14th chapter, oh, yes, even the Comforter. He says in John 14, verse 16, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Oh, he reassured them, verse 18 in this 14th chapter of John, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said in verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh yes, he was going to explain it even a little bit more. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And that's how we prove our love for the Lord, by keeping his commandments. Oh, yes, and by abiding in them, by keeping them. Amen. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh, to manifest himself means that he would reveal himself to his people. That person that hath respect unto his commandments and keepeth them. Amen. Oh, yes, he said he would come and make his abode with such a person. Oh, praise the Lord. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not into the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, we're going to come and live in that individual. Praise the Lord. We're going to live in that person. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And yes, we know from our studies over the last few weeks, oh yes, that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the will of God. And everything he did was in the plan of God. Praise the Lord. Yes. And so, yes, he was presenting it to his disciples, those that would follow him, those that would stay under his discipline. Praise the Lord, to become his disciples. And therefore, they're going to keep his words. And oh, to such a person, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. On the other hand, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And he said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But then he goes on, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then he said, oh yes, as a result of this Spirit of the living God, this Holy Ghost, oh yes, Ghost being the spirit of his departed one, that Holy Ghost being Jesus Christ himself, who comes to live in our very person, praise the Lord, in our very being, oh, to make his abode there, oh, praise the Lord, so he can teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. Praise the Lord, all these things that he had taught them, oh my, that they didn't get at the moment. Oh my, he had told them clearly, you know, that he was going to, you know, give his life a ransom, that he was going to die. Oh my, and all of those details. But they couldn't retain it, those disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, at those moments when he was with them on earth, there before he died and rose again. It was too much for them. But oh yes, that moment was going to come when, oh yes, he would send back the Comforter. And so he said, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to be afraid at the end of this world. Oh, my, as we see all these shaky things coming to pass, we don't have to be afraid because Jesus Christ came into the world, fulfilled the will of his Father, lived and died, but rose again and then ascended back unto his Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He accomplished the eternal plan of God. And oh, yes, he comes back to dwell in our very beings. Praise the Lord. Oh, these things that he did, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, as it's stated in John, the 15th chapter and verse 25. Even the detail that they hated me without a cause. But oh, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it would be a witness to our hearts and to our spirits. Oh, yes, we would have the inspiration. We would have the strength. We would have the Eternal One to walk with us, to teach us, oh, to lead us, to guide us, to bring all things to our remembrance. Oh, yes, so we didn't have to walk in the darkness. So we did not have to be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for his great gift of salvation. Oh, thank the Lord. All these things that Jesus declared to his people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He was laying forth the plan of God. 16th chapter, John, he says even more. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, they were full of sorrow because, yes, Jesus, oh, had told them some of the things that would come to pass. Some of the things that met with sorrow in their hearts. As we look at John 16, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But he continues, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. And when he comes into the world, or shall I say came, because yes, the Comforter has come. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, Jesus said in verse 12, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, it was foretold. Oh, the need that Jesus would not continue his earthly walk with them. He said, it is expedient, it is necessary for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. You know, you won't have that Spirit of truth within your very being. Oh my, it cannot come until I go away, until I ascend back into the heavens. But he promised, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And yes, he was going to come back. That Holy Ghost, which he puts in his people, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, there's so many reasons for the Spirit of truth, for the Comforter, for the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Jesus said unto them before he ascended, Luke the 24th chapter, he told them, verse 44, and he said unto them, those that were with him as he departed from this world, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen. As he walked this earth, he was fulfilling those prophetic utterances. Oh, yes, that had been brought forth in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him. It tells us, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then verse 49 tells us, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's just what they did. Oh, you go to the book of Acts and you see, oh, that they went into that upper room. Oh, yes, to wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, praise the Lord, just as he had required of them to do it. Oh, yes. And sure enough, the Holy Ghost came on that day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord, it fell upon them, all the 120 that were assembled there in that upper room. And praise the Lord for that moment when he fell upon them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when the fulfillment of the scripture came to pass. When he was giving drink to his people, that spiritual drink from on high, praise the Lord. Oh, when he had prophesied, oh, through the psalmist, that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the living God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, yes, it came to pass on the day of Pentecost. And praise the Lord, it was the fulfillment of that which Isaiah had declared, oh, through the mouth of God, giving him the words and the utterance. And praise the Lord, it was that new thing, oh, yes, that had not, oh, yet, it could not come to pass until Jesus had come to this world to fulfill the plan of God. To fulfill all the utterances, all the prophetic utterances that had been brought forth by Moses and by the Psalms, by the prophets, amen. And here it was, it had been said by Isaiah, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that spiritual hunger that the psalmist wrote of. Oh, yes, that thirst that, oh, they needed. And, oh, yes, that great feeling that, oh, they were in a dry and barren land where no water was. Jesus fulfilled that. And he says in verse 21 here in Isaiah chapter 43, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, praise the Lord, his chosen people. Oh, yes, that God has ordained for his plan and his purpose. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing to be a participant in the kingdom of God. You know, Peter wrote of it there in the second chapter of 1 Peter. He was writing to a Gentile people in his epistle there, his 1 Peter epistle. And he says in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Oh, praise the Lord. We are living in the dispensation of grace. Oh, we are living in that period, oh, when it has been revealed. Oh, yes, when the Holy Ghost has come into the world. No, yes, there's a people that God has chosen, his own peculiar treasure. Oh, yes, oh, praise the Lord. A people, oh, yes, that were not in the past a part of that first covenant, but now a chosen generation, now a royal priesthood, now an holy nation, now a peculiar people, oh yes, called forth, oh, by the plan of God, praise the Lord, for his plan, for his purpose, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh yes, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonderful plan of God as it was being fulfilled. I love how it's written in Ephesians, the second chapter, starting with verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Oh, a part of God's eternal plan and purpose. Oh, yes, that he would call forth a people, oh, by his grace, by his mercy, who would not be saved because of their own works, but because of his grace, oh, yes, in which he manifested and revealed us, oh, yes, so that, oh, yes, we could walk in his ways. Oh, yes, so that we could live, oh, in the way that he would call us to live, doing his will and doing the things, oh, that are acceptable in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord, fulfilling his plan in his person, his purpose on this earth. Praise the Lord, a part of that ministry. Oh, yes, that body of Christ. Praise the Lord. We become his workmanship, a work that only could be done by the living God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And because of that life in Christ, because he took us in our sin, in our worthlessness, in all our confusion, in all our trouble, he took us and revealed himself unto us and showed us the great need, oh my, to come to him, to turn our lives over to him in repentance, oh, to obey that command to be baptized in his name, and then, oh yes, to receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that river, oh, that living water, oh, that Jesus had ordained that would come forth, oh, and fill the void in our hearts and in our lives and satisfy our souls. So yes, we become his project, his workmanship. We are brought forth. We are created by Christ Jesus. And yes, because of that, we do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful scripture. And oh, yes, I believe all this is fulfillment of what Isaiah declared in the 12th chapter of Isaiah. Amen. Oh, that beautiful prophetic utterance. Oh, that is brought forth. Oh, yes. Isaiah chapter 12, when it is declared, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And oh, praise the Lord, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, that well that Jesus was talking about to the Samaritan woman. Oh, that well that is so deep that if you drink of it, you don't have to thirst anymore. Praise the Lord. A well that's so deep that it never empties, that there's always more, that there's always more so that we can go from strength to strength. Oh my, so that we can have the strength, oh, to do God's plan and purpose, to live out our lives. Praise the Lord, oh, to walk with him. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. It tells us in verse 4, this 12th chapter, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. O the one who came to make his abode in his people, to live in our hearts. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that which Isaiah prophesied, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord takes us out of our wretchedness, and he makes a new creature out of us, a new creation of his own. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. An individual who can bring forth the praises of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, who can cry forth. Oh, yes. From a heart, oh, that knows the living God, that fellowships with the living God, that knows the strength of joy, drawing waters out of the well of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank God Jesus Christ came to this world, fulfilling all those prophetic utterances to give drink to his people. Praise the Lord, that living water. Praise the Lord, those wells of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. I pray that you send forth your spirit in a mighty way, Lord. Oh, God, that we would have no doubt. Oh, God, knowing that you are with us, that you are in our midst, that you've given us of the living water. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 4 and sing There Is a River, number 4.
There came a sound from heaven.
You all be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.